So this is a Sustainability Commission meeting on August 17th, 2021. I will take roll. Chairman Simon.
Here.
Commissioner Charette.
Here.
Commissioner Chang.
Here.
Commissioner Clancy.
Here.
Commissioner McLean. And Commissioner Roberts. Commissioner Veazey.
Here.
Okay. We don't have any public comment, at least not that was shared with me prior to 4 p.m. today.
Can I just interject? Is that, you know, did you already go over with him? Ellie's one of the student commissioners, and I'm not sure whether the student commissioners all got the invite tonight because Ellie texted me shortly beforehand that she hadn't received it. So just a note for the minutes. I don't know if anybody has the student emails handy to forward it to them, but we should at least acknowledge that Ellie is here as a student commissioner.
Hey, Jeff, I can send you a piece of those.
Yeah, send us whatever you have. If there's a kind of an additional roster there for student commissioners, more than happy to include those folks on the emails. Frankly, that just wasn't on our radar, so we just missed the ball on that one here tonight. We'll make sure that doesn't happen again.
Thanks.
Okay, so yeah, certainly. So with that said, the next item that you have up on your agenda is the adoption of the previous meeting minutes. Does anybody have any comment on those? Okay, so I just need a motion and a second to take a vote on those.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay. And Chairman Simon.
Yes.
Commissioner Charette.
Yes.
Commissioner Chang.
Yes.
Commissioner Clancy?
Yes.
And Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
Okay, village staff update. So my name is Jeff Losser. I am the former village engineer for the Village of River Forest. So I've been with the village for about 8.5 years. Recently, we've kind of undergone a bit of a reorganization. So I've been appointed the Director of Public Works and Development Services. So we've basically kind of wrapped our building department in with our Public Works Department, and I'm the director of that group. Sarah Pfeiffer, whom some of you might know, she's been in our admin department, helping Eric Palm and Lisa Shiner and John Pape for the last few years. She's moving over. She's going to be she's coming to the department with me, the Public Works and Development Services Department, as a management analyst. So normally she will be staffing this commission. She's unfortunately on vacation, so it was rough timing this first go round. But between the two of us, I know she's been dealing a lot with the deer stuff, and she staffs the Age Friendly Commission, and I've been doing the Traffic and Safety Commission for the better part of the 8.5 years that I've been the village engineer. So that's kind of the crux of our staffing changes. Like I said, Sarah will normally be your point of contact. She'll be handling any of the staff responsibilities that you guys would previously have been dealing with John Anderson on. I'm just kind of filling in for her here this evening. So if any of you have any questions along those lines, I'm more than happy to answer them. Otherwise, we can kind of move past that item and get on to business if you'd like. No questions. All right, I'll take it.
You're getting off easy, Jeff.
Like I said, I'll take it. I'm not going to, when you get the answer you're looking for, you don't keep asking, right?
I'll
kind of turn it over. fair point. I'll turn it over to you, Mr. Sherman, if you, or Ms. Chang, did you have a statement you wanted to make?
Oh, I was just going to say, this isn't a question, but just a comment to thank the staff. I mean, John was always fabulous, and, you know, Sarah has been great in my interactions I've had with her, and glad to have the chance to meet you, and, you know, just look forward to, we really appreciate it. We couldn't do the things that we do without, you know, staff support. So thank you.
Certainly. Thank you for those kind words. Unless there's anything else, Mr. Chairman, I'll kind of hand it over to you.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. And thanks for stepping in. I know Sarah was bummed But obviously, like, this all just happened and she had planned her vacation, like, you know, months ago. So makes total sense. And, you know, just to add a little bit to what Jeff's saying, you know, we still have really good support. I agree with what Beth said. John was great. He was very supportive. We enjoyed working with him. And I think we'll have just as good of an experience, if not better, with Sarah and you know, Jeff as well. I don't think, Jeff, we won't really have direct interaction with you unless we need something, right? But, you know, with Sarah, I know, is kind of a lieutenant of yours. So I'm sure you'll be somewhat involved.
Yeah, certainly. And if you guys need something and Sarah's not around or that, by all means, you it's not hard to get a hold of any one of us. So we're kind of tag teaming a lot of things these days. A lot of us are wearing multiple hats. So certainly in this interim period, or this transition period, I should say, if Sarah is out of reach or something like that, feel free to contact me.
Sure. Thanks, Jeff. All right. And then this is, I know we put Maggie on the spot last time. This is Jeff's first meeting. Jeff V, that is. So Jeff, if you don't mind just kind of like giving us a quick intro, say hi to the group.
Sure. Yeah, so I'm Jeff VZ. Been in River Force about 8 years now. I guess professionally last 15 years or so, I've been working in renewable energy development for a company based in Chicago, Invenergy. Prior to that, or kind of started there in engineering. And now I'm working more on kind of like the permitting and project management. And I guess those are kind of the essentials. I was, you know, interested. I just had kind of seen over the years some of the work that the commission has done, especially the last couple of years, and thought it was, they were kind of, or you guys had been doing a lot of interesting things. And I happen to live on the same block as Shannon as well, and I've talked to her about it. And so thought I'd offer my services, and I'm happy to be a part of it and help out any way I can.
Thanks, Jeff. We're psyched to have you on the commission. And as you guys heard, that's a skill set we can all really take advantage of as well. So that's going to be great. And Jeff, we might abuse you a bit because you know, we're lacking kind of that deeper green energy knowledge that you're going to be able to really help us with. So that's awesome. Thank you. All right. So, you know, for Jeff's sake, and actually for both Jeff's sake, so typically we do commissioner reports right now, which is just kind of quick updates that are not elsewhere on the agenda of really, you know, any meetings that people have been, you know, that have attended between our last meeting and now, or other relevant things that are going on. So we usually typically go around the room and get those updates. So if it's all right, Beth, I'm going to pick on you. Do you want to?
Well, I had a meeting with Eric. I am just still plugging slowly away on my formulating a strategy and implementation for kind of communication and education, and Maggie and Jeff, being relatively new, don't know that I have been talking about this, and I feel like it's time for me to produce. But I'm hoping that maybe by the September meeting, I'll have something more concrete to show. But what Eric and I talked about is the two elements that we'll work on for the communication plan. One is developing a series to hopefully go into the Village e-newsletter, Jeff, and that where one of the entries would be just like general education about what we've been doing about the greenhouse gas inventory coupled with action items. And the biggest action item that we hope will be coming down the pike is residents being able to take advantage of community solar, hopefully at the beginning of 2022. So that gives us a few months to kind of soften people up, you know, introduce the kind of the framework, greenhouse gas emissions inventory, the fact that energy is the biggest way that you can have an impact on carbon, and that there's this new opportunity to sign up. And then working in all the other kind of green living menu items, if you will, you know, whether it's tree trails or Veg Out Wednesday or, you know, pollinator gardens, that I was trying to decide whether to I think Eric suggested the phrase, what did you thought? Choose your own adventure. Yeah, choose your own green adventure, or sort of the menu analogy, right? So that people feel like they can choose the things that they are interested in, able to do. So still plugging away on that. Hope to come back with something more concrete in September.
All right, thanks, Beth. Susan?
Let's see, I attended a Planet Grant. First, my name is Susan Schrett, for those who don't know me. And my area is green ecosystems, and I'm also the representative to Planet Green. Does anybody want me to talk a little bit about what Planet Green is, since we have some?
I think that might be a good idea, since we have some new commissioners.
Okay. So Planet Green started about 10 years ago as a cooperative effort between Oak Park and River Forest, primarily. And it's done through the Community Foundation and administered by Seventh Generation ahead. Gary Kunin at Seventh Generation. And there was a plan and reports that came out every 2 years, but we're kind of approaching the end of that 10-year period with new goals of expanding beyond our borders to reaching out to Maywood and Broadview and places in Austin. And we have monthly meetings, and so it's kind of a sustainability plan for the two villages, which is broadening. So, but I did not take very good notes, so don't have much to report other than that we met. And the other thing I wanted to talk about, I reached out to Eric about this, and I wondered if other people had gotten this as well. I've been receiving solicitations from Clean Choice Energy. Has anybody else? Are you nodding? Yes, Beth?
Periodically, I have been getting that, and I always wonder what to do with it.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering what it means. So for people who aren't getting this, it's a solicitation for clean energy. Definitely not something that the Sustainability Commission or the Village has endorsed. It's done with renewable energy credits, similar to our aggregation program, which is endorsed by the Village. And unlike ours, which offers energy at the same price, this one has a statement that says something like, well, of course, renewable energy costs more. And they're asking for 11 cents per kilowatt hour. And I believe the flat rate at ComEd is like 7.25 or something like that. So a considerable increase. And the only reason I bring it up is I think we have to address, so it's sort of to you, Beth, I think we have to address this and differentiate it from the programs that we are endorsing, which, you know, as a rule, do not cost residents more. That's
a great point.
Yeah, well said, Susan. Beth and I have talked a little bit about like this challenge on trying to differentiate the all the energy choices out there. So that's a bummer, because that really is actually a super crappy deal for those that go for
really
it.
Really bad, really bad. Item to just, you know, even because we don't have to say much other than, you know, if you receive solicitations from Clean Choice Energy, this is not endorsed by, you know, the Village or sustainability or whatever we want to say, but I feel like we need to get that message out.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea to actually also get that on our website in our energy section. That, and I don't like, there's a dozen companies like Clean Choice. I think we could more generally say, you know, just give warnings that people should really scrutinize any solicitations they get, and they should probably pay, you know, the same or less on for their energy with these deals. I think that's fair for us to say, because I know there are options out there that are actually good deals, and some are even, you know, better than what our options are going to be. So, all right, cool. Maggie?
I mean, I don't have any updates, but I do have a question. And I apologize if this is something that I should have seen somewhere. But do we have an update on the grant application for the charging stations that we were working with John on.
Jeff, I'm not, do you have an update on that? I think we got it.
Yeah, we did get it. We just received something, I think it was last week. So
okay, great.
$10,000, that grant was awarded. And I, amongst the numerous things that I'm trying to kind of catch myself up with, in terms of taking over this role, I reached out to Tim something or other, who was involved in that project, who John was coordinating with. So I know that that grant was only part of the cost, because I think the whole thing was like $24,000. But my understanding was the aggregation money that was coming in was going to cover the remainder of that. So yes, the grant is there. Everything looks like it's lined up. It's just a matter of me kind of wrapping my head around it and getting things rolling.
I'm sorry, I missed. What was that grant for?
This is for an EV charging station.
Oh, okay.
So that's good. And if just to remind everybody, because that was a good question by Beth, and Maggie knows more about this than I do, but this was, that $24,000 cost was all in. That was to run the power, you know, everything that needed to happen to, and we had decided as a commission long ago that we would match the dollars of the grant with the dollars from the from the aggregation program. So 12 to 12, basically.
I was gonna say, to that end, it was not. I mean, so 10 is obviously not half of 24. Is there any objection to kind of closing that, the entirety of that gap, with the aggregation money, or is that, I mean, you guys just looking to do a true match? So it would be 10 and 10 in the village, was to foot the bill for the other four, because I don't know that that's budgeted.
I would have to honestly look back at
notes.
Okay.
Maggie, I don't know if you remember.
No, I don't. I would have to look back as well. I don't think I had a chance to see what was submitted from with the latest estimates along with the grant. So I think I'd have to get my eyes on that as well.
Is there any strong objection to using that funding to cover the remainder of that cost?
So we're talking about an additional $4,000. I need to dig up what, like, if we allocated any more of that money, this is kind of a general question for the commissioners. I feel like this is the only thing we had kind of allocated money for.
And to that end, before anybody else chimes in, I think there was, I just talked to our director of finance the other day. So I think theoretically there would be 14 coming out to cover the rest of the EV charging station. I think there was something like 16 or 18 in there. So it wasn't a full drawdown. And then my limited understanding was that there was still, you know, some additional funds coming in on a monthly basis. So again, not a full drawdown, and then some more on top of that. And frankly, I think that 16 or 18 number she gave me was from April or something. So it's even higher than that now. So take that for what it's worth too, I guess.
The $24,000 is an initial cost. Are there any ongoing costs once this EV station, I mean, other than the electric?
And typical maintenance, I don't believe there's anything, you know, I don't believe, and that's something I'd have to double check, but I don't believe there was any kind of subscription or so to speak or anything like that.
I don't believe there was either, but we should double check that. We should probably dust this off. I can work with Maggie on doing
it. Yeah, because I'm not sure if I saw the final estimate on that. So
I'm sure I have that in an email somewhere from John Anderson.
Yeah, probably. Maybe I do too. We'll take that as a to-do.
Okay. I will kind of keep the ball rolling on that in the meantime, but we'll not pull the trigger on anything until you folks have a chance to kind of weigh in, hopefully one last time in September, and then we kind of get things in the ground.
It is good news, though. So that's something to celebrate.
Definitely. All right, cool. Anything else, Maggie?
Nope, that's it for me. Thanks.
Thanks. Jeff Vizzi, do you have anything to add?
No, not much to add, at least this week, but you know, hopefully next week or next month, sorry. Kind of more up to speed.
Perfect. We'll get there slowly. Ellie?
Sure. So this summer I didn't do that much because my tree trails plan kind of didn't really work out. They didn't, it was too late in the summer to incorporate a fall activity or a late summer activity. But I will be talking to Corey Catholic about doing a tree trails version in his class again this year, because last year was pretty successful. And I don't know if anyone else has noticed, but walking around downtown Oak Park, you look in the restaurant windows and in a few of them you see the veg out stickers. Like, I was just at Munch the other day and there was a sticker that said veg out, and it was just really cool to see that in public.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I would love, since it's the start of the new year, it'd be really cool to do some stuff with the school. I was thinking, or the schools in River Forest, I was thinking about doing some alternative like products to the dairy milk that they sell because of the high emissions that dairy milk produces. So I know there are a lot of issues regarding contracts with suppliers, but I think it would be cool to reach out to some of the principals and see what would be possible.
I love that idea.
It's a great idea.
It's a great idea. Like, we can, we might be able to tap in a, there's some, you know, I'm in the food business, and there's some Chicago-based, you know, manufacturers of some of those alt products that maybe would work with us on that. So maybe you and I should talk.
Okay, that would be great. Also, I'm probably going to be eating my dinner for the rest of the meeting. Gonna...
Ellie, I'm going to be joining you.
make sure you guys keep your mics hot so we can hear it.
So Ellie, just a quick question. We can follow up on this afterwards, but I am trying to reconnect with like the Green for Good parents in the River Forest schools. So, I mean, something like the milk thing definitely has to be decided by the administration, but with that and the stuff with Mr. Cat, like if you want, you know, connection with the parent Green for Good group, let me know, or at least they would probably like to know, just from a coordination point of view, that the commission's working with the district on, you know, green related activities. So that's once I figure,
I think it would be good to get input from the parents.
Yeah. So let me figure out who wants to be sort of the point with the commission. I mean, you probably know Laura Maycruck, and there's a couple other people over there. So I'll try to find out who wants to be kind of the liaison with the commission.
So Beth, there's been an update at Roosevelt. Laura's, okay. Her youngest child has moved on to the high school, and so the new one is Renee Sichlau, who you've
got. Oh, it is Renee. Okay.
And I don't know who it is at Lincoln.
Yeah, I mean, Alexis Murphy was really active there, and then there was Lindsay Silver, who set up the bike exchange last year. So those are the people who I was going to reach out to.
Okay. I'm sure they can direct you if they're not the ones.
Okay. I have Shannon's update was very quick. She emailed it to me. She apologized she couldn't be on. So she didn't really have much of an update on carbon inventory other than she finally got ComEd to admit that the data they sent for electricity is not right.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So, just to take a step back on that one. So if you guys remember, like, she finally got that data and it was super funky. It was suspect. And it took her, sent multiple inquiries over and over again. And she finally heard back really recently that, you know, they admitted that the data was wrong. No idea when, you know, they're going to be able to correct that or anything like that, but she continues to follow up on that. And I think we're going to have a little more horsepower around greenhouse gas inventory, which I'll cover when we talk about the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus Climate Action Plan, because there's a component of that is going to help Shannon out. Anything else, commissioner report wise?
Eric, are we down a commissioner?
We're not. We Carrie's on vacation. I forgot to kind of mention that. Yeah, she was going to try to join, but she's like in Northern Michigan somewhere. She wasn't sure if she'd be able to. So we're actually fully commissioned up right now. All right, next on the agenda was next steps on the Lakeshore Recycling Strom discussion. Jeff, I'm not sure if you have any kind of updates on that. It's kind of a question on like how we continue to stay involved in the process and how we should kind of submit our, you know, thoughts on it as well.
Sure. So just to kind of give you an idea of where I'm at on this, kind of coming in and trying to, again, wrap my head around it. I did talk to George Strom, who I know was at your last meeting. I listened to that audio as well. So the current contract is up in, I believe, April of 22. So we have the option of just letting that expire and redoing an entirely new contract. We can go out to RFP for an entirely new contract with a potentially different vendor, or we have the ability to unilaterally extend the current contract 5 years. My understanding is that Strom is also, since they've been acquired by LRS, they've also kind of thrown a few more items on the table, a few more amenities, if you will. And I believe that was a good chunk of what you all discussed with him at the last Sustainability Commission meeting. In talking to him, it sounded like there was some discussion about potentially issuing a survey out to the residents. And so that's kind of where I'm starting to lose the breadcrumb trail. And I want to make sure that, you know, you all as a commission and we as staff are heading in the same direction. So I guess I'd be looking at you all to see what your thoughts are on kind of our options for the contract and just what you've discussed along those lines, as well as what your thoughts were on what George kind of brought to the table at the last meeting. And then from there, I figure we kind of, if we need to start issuing or putting together a survey and issuing that to the public, we can do that. I want to find out where the Sustainability Commission is coming from before we start wandering down a path of RFP or extending the current contract or something like that. So I guess I'd turn it over to you folks to see what your thoughts were at this time.
Well, I would say that, you know, without knowing much about the whole industry and the potential competitors, you know, I think Boystrom has a long history of, working in partnership with the village and in a very kind of, personal way. So in the absence of like some compelling data about going elsewhere, I suppose I would be in favor of working with Boystrom to improve the conditions of the contract, which include things that we discussed last time, like opt-out composting, and that's the one that sticks in my head. I'm trying to remember. I'm sure there are other improvements, amenities that they offered, but I don't know the industry, so I can't say for sure that it's not worthwhile to put it out to bid, even if even if we hope that Roy Strom is ultimately selected. I guess a little competition is always a good idea, but I have a very favorable impression of Roy Strom. So,
In my conversation with George, in my conversation with George, he did kind of go over a couple of those items. One, and this is a vendor that's talking, so you can take that for what it's worth. But he did talk about how the industry has seen a lot of just kind of buyouts lately. Obviously, Strom just got bought out by LRS. There just seems to be a lot fewer vendors, if you will, because everybody's starting to kind of team up. So he did kind of bring that up in the vein of, if you do go out to RFP, and obviously it's to his benefit for us not to, but he did kind of say, if you do, the landscape is a little bit different than when we last did. I think it was like 7 years ago, or it will be by the time we do it. He said the landscape's just a little bit different, and the odds of us getting a big number of proposals is just not that great. So I would assume they would still, propose if we issued an RFP. But they, he seemed to think they might be, one of two or three at best. It's, we're not, again, I don't know until we issue it, but it didn't sound like we would potentially be looking at a big number to choose from. So bear in mind that that's kind of the new landscape that it sounds like is out there for waste haulers.
Hey, I don't want to speak for Susan, So Susan, if you want to jump in, if not, I will.
But why don't you speak and I can add my.
So a few things is first of all, Jeff, like, you know, we understand that, you know, the Sustainability Commission, you know, doesn't, you know, like the scope of the trash piece that we care about is composting and recycling. You know, there's lots of other aspects of it. One thing that Susan had brought up, you know, in a couple of our meetings, which is really interesting, is like, as you alluded to, there's a menu of items that are available with Lakeshore. They seem to have, like you said, more amenities, more products available to us. And, you know, one of the things we were trying to sort out is, you know, from a cost standpoint, you know, can amenities be traded, right? Like if, you know, if we decided not to do one thing, you know, does that you know, give us the ability to like do opt-out composting for the entire village? So Susan, I know I'm not kind of doing it justice, but really it's more of like just kind of a question, Jeff, of it'd be nice to see a little bit of creativity in looking at all the different things that are available to us. If the desire of the trustees and you know, the village is to be cost neutral on this, then it would be great to see what that means. Like, you know, is there one thing that is not important that could be substituted with another that is?
To that end, I mean, is there potential service out there that River Forest is not getting that you all would like to see, you know, as part of said menu?
Well, so composting still costs money, right? So probably the biggest barrier in people adopting composting is there's a cost, right? So if there was an opportunity to, you know, defray that cost or eliminate that cost, that's something that we're very interested in.
Okay.
Just to jump on that, I mean, one way of saying this is that there's a cost to doing composting, but another way of saying that is that the way that our services are structured right now is, at least monetarily, you're penalized for composting and not penalized for, you know, having a lot of landfill. So what some municipalities try to do is they try to change the cost incentive so that, you know, essentially compost and recycling are free and you're paying more if you have more landfill. And one way you do that is by charging different amounts for different bins. So people who are effective at moving more trash towards recycling and composting are rewarded monetarily, not fined $240 a year. So, and I think that's a big jump and a big ask in one move. So I guess the creativity comes in how can we move in that direction with this one. So, and one thing we haven't talked about that George Strom or the other person that appeared talked a lot about was hazardous waste. And that was sort of where they were thinking to expand. And I think that's great, but I think when you compare composting and hazardous waste, I mean, hazardous waste is something people do. Whereas composting ideally would be something weekly. So if we had a trade-off there, you know, that's something that we would want to think about. And just one other thing that came up at our last meeting, if you listen to the meeting, you probably heard this, but one resident brought up that we might get more takers for composting, particularly if there were a fee, if the year were broken up. And so, you know, like right now, residents pay the same in sort of the off seasons that don't have a lot of yard waste, even though pickup is only every 2 weeks. So that's an interesting question. Why are they paying the same for much less service? So, and then getting back to the, you know, putting this out as a RFP, I really think we should. I mean, even if we only get three, three is still competition. One is we go by whatever Roy Strom or, you know, Lakeshore. That's when we have three, we can at least ask questions. We can say like, okay, you know, as Beth said, we've been really happy with you and you're our preferred vendor, but you know, someone else is able to offer this. And I feel like someone trying to break into the market probably has an incentive to be more competitive than somebody who's saying like, yeah, you know, we've had your contract for X number of years and you're unlikely to move on. So, you know, unless it's a tremendous amount of effort on the part of the village, it seems like it's not something that should just be discarded because, you know, we can only expect to get three.
Certainly, and we would certainly, for what it's worth, I mean, we would certainly kind of do some analysis with surrounding communities and things like that to make sure that the numbers that they are dealing with aren't ridiculous. I haven't seen any of that thus far. I think I saw a spreadsheet put together for the previous round of this discussion, and I know it was competitive at that time, but that would certainly be part of our analysis and figuring out ultimately how we kind of go about this.
You know, just one other thing to kind of pile on to here, and at risk of having another entire meeting on the Lakeshore conversation, is one thing that, you know, I do agree with the competition that, you know, Susan's talking about. You know, I think that's always good, but is the sorting facility for Lakeshore Strom is like much closer than, you know, so if we're looking at carbon footprint and, you know, greenhouse gases and stuff, like, you know, I think the next competitor would have to take the stuff, you know, a significant distance to their sorting facility, where, you know, Strom's sorting facility is in Maywood. So, you know, those are the kind of things to look at too, is, you know, miles traveled, and like it would be from our commission standpoint, it would be we'd be remiss if, you know, we went with a, you know, a company that's driving their trucks from 60 miles away in order to service our garbage and then also taking our recyclables a significant distance away. So lots of things to think about.
But it could still give us leverage just to have asked.
For sure.
I'd be curious too if they're considering electrifying any of their fleet as well in the future, because that is something that is starting to trend.
That's the Maggie Clancy perspective that we needed. But that's huge.
It is huge. So that's something that is becoming more popular. And I wonder if they've considered that at all or if they've looked into it.
We'll ask, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just add two quick things is that I'm sure you heard from the last meeting that some option for handling electronics waste is, I think, incredibly important. And I would actually, I'm not sure I would want to trade off compost and hazardous waste. While I understand your point, Susan, the compost is like an everyday thing, but hazardous waste is just such a headache. And I've got like a couple boxes of, you know, paint and other stuff just sitting in my garage because I don't want to put it in the garbage, but it's too hard to figure out what to do with it. And I know lots of people are just putting it in the garbage because they are, you know, not going to like spend the time to think about it. So, and then the other thing is when you get to doing like the residents survey, I know John had worked up like a list of potential questions, but I think that it's important to kind of hone that in a way that gives you not just kind of general uninformed opinions, but, you know, really helps you choose between what's realistically available out there. So I don't know how that translates into exact questions and length of survey, but it's just kind of an observation that I would be cautious about. You know, you ask people their opinions, and then if you don't do it, they might be unhappy. And if you just throw it wide open, even we as a commission are, you know, we're a little bit more informed than the average person, but I wouldn't say that I feel like I know all the ins and outs. And so if I give an opinion, it's just an opinion, right? It doesn't really help you with the concrete decisions that the village is going to have to make.
Understood.
Do we have, I apologize, I missed last month, so I don't want to rehash if this was covered, but are there like sort of metrics or data available to help kind of pair with if there's a survey in terms of like how many residents have opted in and how many people have stuck with it once they did and like volume or the weight quantity of compost that is been diverted garbage?
I don't know, but that's certainly some of, if that's available, we can certainly get that to you folks.
So Jeff, we do have some of that data in some of our in some of the other work we've done. I don't know if that's in our greenhouse gas data, but we have it somewhere. like we do have the metrics on, you know, how many metric tons of trash we're producing and how much is being diverted, and so a little bit at least.
Planet Green collects that information as well. It's a little bit hard to interpret because it includes the leaves that are collected in the fall.
That's right. That throws it off quite a bit. Yeah. I thought we were going to try to find a way to correct for that, but I think that's complicated.
I mean, maybe even Roy Strong can give us that information.
Yeah, if you had weekly or monthly or whatever, you'd know the season with the leaves.
Yep.
Okay. All right, any other questions or comments on the Lakeshore Strum saga? Okay, excellent. All right, next on the agenda is the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, CAP, the Climate Action Plan. So, I apologize in advance because I'm going to switch over to some notes here. Okay, so there was a meeting today with the Environment Committee meeting, and it was regarding the Climate Action Plan, and it was really good meeting. Actually, both Lisa and I were on it. Was anybody else on it, by the way? Like, I didn't see anyone else, but I could have missed somebody. So this was a great meeting. Because they are now digging into the kind of the nuts and bolts of this. And the agenda essentially for the meeting was recapping the Climate Action Plan, which if you haven't taken a look at it yet, please do. It's both on the Google Drive as well as I've sent links out. If you don't have them, just let me know. But this meeting was how the municipalities, they are asking the municipalities how they would, how we would like to engage with the cap, with the plan. They wanted data on kind of what the climate around our community is. In other words, you know, from a government standpoint, what kind of support is there? From a resident standpoint, what kind of support is there? They really went over lots of questions on communication and branding. Beth, I have some stuff for you for that I'll get talk to you about after the meeting. And a lot of conversation about reporting and tracking. So this is, you know, where it got particularly interesting from a Shannon standpoint too. Because basically what the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus is gonna do now is they already are going after grant money to engage with us on, you know, better cataloging of our greenhouse gas emissions, better engagement with the community. Excuse me just for a sec, I have a dog scratching at my door. And all the stuff that really we need in order to help, implement, you know, actually more than implement, it's really take the work that we've done and see how it matches up with the Climate Action Plan and actually have resources in order to be able to execute on it. So it was a really positive meeting. What I'll do is there's a recording of the meeting, and there's also like the slide deck. I will put that up on the Google Drive and also send you guys a note when I've done that. I don't think we have the recording yet. That usually takes a few days to get. So, you know, I guess my point with all this is really there's a lot of momentum around this right now. They came out with a plan. You know, we're only one of three regions in the country that have done this. There was a lot of press. There was a lot of a lot of buzz around it. But now they're immediately kind of digging into how can communities like us engage with the plan and have the resources we need to support it. They want support at the end of the day. Like one of the questions, Susan is gonna be also like, how do we dovetail all these things like, you know, like Planet Green, this is Greenest Region Compact. So Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, to remind everybody, is the Greenest Region Compact, which we're also a member of. So, you know, and then our own kind of work that we've done, how do we really tie this all together and have a coherent, complete, sophisticated climate action plan that is in concert with the communities that are around us. And again, the nice thing is that they know, the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, as well as all the organizations they're working with, know that communities like us can't do that alone. You know, that they can't just throw it out there and expect that like we're gonna you know, be able to support it. That there really needs to be a lot of help and a lot of resources. The other part of that meeting was, and I'm not sure I have that. Give me one sec to dig that up. So just one other thing is that, so the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus is part of the Global Covenant of Mayors for Climate and Energy. And like, you know, we need like another organization to be part of like a hole in the head right now. But they're actually, the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus has always worked with them and they've always had a very close relationship. And that's basically the EU. And there was actually a guy from the EU's Climate Commission on the second half of the call talking about how, you know, the communities in the European Union are working with organizations like the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus. There's like a Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus in a lot of places throughout the US. And how really they're all doing the same work and sharing resources and sharing ideas so that globally we have kind of a similar response. So like now we're getting to like, you know, the 100,000 foot level. We're grassroots, we're a small community, but really they've all done a really good job getting alignment between these huge organizations that have, you know, tens of millions of residents that are under it, all the way down to, you know, commissions like us that have 11,000 residents that we support and try to do sustainability work for. So interesting stuff. We will talk to the trustees about joining the Global Covenant of Mayors for Climate and Energy. We don't know if there's a cost and how that works. What we do know is if we join it, they have crazy greenhouse gas emission data that we would be really interested in getting. So
that's really actually,
it's a lot, right? There's really a lot going on with this. And I think the trick for us is going to be to have a realistic and coherent way to tackle this.
And in partnership, right, with the surrounding communities is critical, because obviously being a small village, the, you know, greenhouse gas emissions isn't just in our area. We have to consider everyone around us. Do we know, Eric, if like folks from Oak Park or Maywood or anyone else was attending this as well, or did you?
So Oak Park obviously is always very, you know, front and center on things like this. So Maywood is a member of the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus.
Okay.
But I don't know if they are spending time and resources on looking into this, which is kind of full circle back to some of the other things we've talked about as a commission, which is how we can help our neighbors out, you know, with a lot of these different initiatives we're doing. So I don't know the answer to that fully, Maggie, but like that's worth finding out. Same with all the surrounding communities. We know Oak Park's on board, but with other surrounding communities, it'd be interesting to see if, you know, if that's the case. And as Beth and I always talk about, you know, there's really, like, we don't have to reinvent the wheel on a lot of things. Beth, you and I talk about this from a communication perspective on community solar and things like that, is like we should be borrowing ideas from, you know, from some of these more progressive, well-resourced neighbors that we have that have done really good work on this. Because the thing we still don't have that we also need to discuss is we don't have a resource, a non-volunteer resource.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wanted to get an AmeriCorps volunteer or somebody to really kind of help us with a lot of these initiatives, which would be huge. Which brings up the question, I didn't work on that AmeriCorps thing at all. Was one of the commissioners involved in when we were trying to get that?
I don't know if that ever got really beyond the conceptual stage, but I do know that we seem to kind of miss the deadline every year. I think Lisa would know what the deadlines are and if we wanted to get somebody, say, for some reason I feel like it's on an academic year cycle, but I'm not sure. But if it is, and if we wanted somebody for September of 2022, you know, it's something that we need to find out, well, when's the deadline to apply? And I think the sticking points are always like planning what project you want the person to work on and who's going to supervise them. And Jeff, I think that, you know, inevitably, I don't know, I mean, they could have like a commissioner supervisor, but they might need kind of like a staff sponsor or something like that. I don't know. So we should find out the deadline and we should plan for it because we've talked about it for a couple of years now. You're on mute, Eric.
Yeah, no, sorry, I was just yelling at kids. which I sometimes hit mute on and then other times I don't. And I do that on purpose for your entertainment. I will actually talk to Lisa about, because she did a little bit of work on it. I don't know where we're at. It would be great if one of the commissioners could kind of help try to figure out if that's feasible. And if so, I know by the time I think we started talking about, we had already missed the deadline. I don't know if it's annual. I don't know at all how it works. So, but we should find out so we don't miss another deadline in case it's something we want to do. We can also just send our entire commission work offshore. Any questions on the climate action plan? Ellie, any kind of questions from your perspective on this at all?
You're on mute.
Oh, sorry. I have to unplug my headphones every time I talk.
No.
Nothing specific. I think that what you mentioned about the EU was really cool. Like the fact that I know obviously sustainability is international, but thinking about how large the scale can be is really interesting.
And this has become like such a focus for so many government agencies globally that actually that EU agency opened up an office in the United States in order to better coordinate with all the universities and all the nonprofits in the US that are doing this work. So it's actually, when you start digging into kind of what's happening from a global cooperation on this, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the Paris Climate Accord was really the start of a lot of that.
Thanks for sharing about that. Because it's like, obviously sustainability is always gonna be really important, but just thinking about it on a global scale is a whole other thing.
Yeah, it kind of makes your head hurt. At least makes mine hurt. If you want to get more involved in that, Ellie, just let me know.
Yeah, I will.
All right. Other business.
All right. Let's see. Well, Eric, do you want to at least update the commission on the next steps with the community solar? Because we had talked a little bit about the need for the village to pass a resolution, and I didn't see it on the agenda, but whether you needed anything from this commission to move that along.
Thanks, sorry, it was just an oversight not to have that on the agenda. So you literally just gave the update. Okay, so we've been at a total standstill, right? So there is, if you for some reason had a lot of free time and you looked into some of those links that we sent out on this, there is an order of like 16 things that we have to do, and you have to do them in order. And right now we are stuck on the trustees having to pass a resolution. The resolution's been written. It's in the hands of the village. It, I think, got lost in the shuffle of some of the reorg work that's been happening. And Jeff and Lisa, Lisa Pfeiffer, and I had a really good call a couple weeks ago, and I got them fully up to speed and sent them all the documentation. And they were gonna help kind of move it along. So Jeff, I don't know if you probably don't have any updates at this point on that, but.
No, I mean, you guys have kind of represented it pretty well. Our plan at this point is to get it on that next agenda, which I believe is September 13th. That's the next board meeting. So until I hear otherwise and look, you know, the village administrator or the village president, they can pluck any agenda items for any reason, it might get too busy or something like that. But our anticipation is to have that on that next agenda for approval on that Monday, the 13th.
So I had just suggested or asked Eric whether it would be helpful to have a recommendation from the commission. You know, I mean, there's obviously it's already on the agenda. If you don't need that formal, you know, then that's fine. But
yeah, I guess what's the history? I mean, it kind of comes part and parcel. The recommendation is kind of attached to it, is it not? I mean, I don't know that we need anything more formal. It's already kind of in that vein. It's coming through you folks already.
Great.
Want to slap your name on it? Absolutely. We can put that together. I have no problem with that. But I also don't know that it's necessary. It wasn't getting hung up because of that or anything.
Like okay. That. It was just sort of lost in the shuffle of the transition. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, and I think it's more of a question of like if the trustees are going to have, is there going to be a dialogue around it? Is there going to be a conversation? Because if there is, we'll need to prepare.
Well, you're going to be there, right, Eric? I would think that it would make sense for you to be at that meeting because you would be the best position to answer questions. I can try to be at the meeting. I'll up when it is.
I'm never going on any kind of vacation ever again, so I will probably be there. So that way at least we have some representation there in case there are questions or concerns. I would hope that if it gets to the point where it's on the agenda, that it's more of like a part of the consensus agenda, but I don't know. So that's the update. So once that is passed, then we move on to like step 9 and 10 and so on. Which is also, some of the steps are easier. They're like decisions on you know, how do you want it sold through a third party website? Do you want it sold on your website or sign ups not sold? But then there's some tougher things too, like that are going to involve the village as well. So as soon as this passes, we will immediately be ready to start that next step. I'm gonna ask Jeff Veazey to help with this because he has experience in bureaucracy and energy. Is that a tactful way to say it, Jeff?
Yeah, that's a perfect way of saying it.
And anyone else like offline, you know, Beth's helping out immensely with the communication piece of this. But like, this is something that if any of the commissioners that have any kind of capacity right now will need it because, you know, the more resources we have on these next steps, which some of them are time consuming, you know, many hands make light work type of thing. So maybe offline, just let me know if you think that's something you wanna help out with.
If we're done with that topic, I just have one other thing to mention more as kind of a heads up for Jeff Loster, that we, in trying to figure out the communication plan going forward, I originally just wanted to focus on certain things, special communication things around the greenhouse gas inventory. But I think that the website, as websites tend to do, has kind of become many tentacled, like the sustainability page. And I know that Sarah is really good at that. And so we would like to enlist her help with that. But I'm sure she has many demands on her time. So we'll let her and you guide us. But my observation is we tried initially to set up a menu structure, but then as new people wanted to add new things, you know, many things just kept getting added to the menu as opposed to somewhere else. And so I think that it's the kind of thing where we could really use some, not just concerted staff help, but also some leadership from Sarah in terms of how other village web pages are organized and staying consistent with that and coming up with a structure that, you know, she can efficiently help us maintain instead of people just sending things saying, hey, I've got the latest program, and it just gets kind of plopped at the top of the sustainability page, and then old stuff doesn't get taken down. And, you know, it's a familiar problem for a lot of things. I know it's not just us, but.
Sure. And you bring up a good point. I mean, we would certainly want to remain consistent with the rest of the village web pages, but by all means, if that page has gotten a little bit stale or just needs a kind of a reorganization, I don't see any issue with that. And to your point, Sarah's usually at the forefront of the rest of those for the village too. So I certainly don't see any issue with that.
Okay. So we'll enlist her help. Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Any other business, which can be really anything that, you know, wasn't on the agenda or was on the agenda, but has popped into your mind since?
I have a question about student commissioners, because it seems like their appointment was for 1 year. Are all four going to be renewed? Is thinking about that? Or?
So I don't actually know. You're right about the 1 year part. That is not. I don't know what the. Hey, Ellie, I have a question for you. Did you sign on for another year, or like still showing up?
I haven't signed on to anything yet. If it could be possible, I would like to continue until the end of my senior year.
Well, I mean, we'd love to have you as long as you'll give us the time. I just wanted to see if there was some kind of formal. So Susan, I think there was a meeting where we actually, you know, it was an agenda item and we voted on it, so to speak. So we should dust off what I'll look back on all the stuff that Lisa's given me. And
I mean, I guess the piece of that is reaching out and making sure that they're interested in.
And I'm not, how have we done that in the past? Have we done it through some of the clubs?
Well, I mean, given that we have four right now, I would just reach out to them and, you know, just as you did with Ellie and said, are you interested in serving for another year? And if they're not, then, you know, we could think about, do we want to reach out to somebody else? I thought it would be nice. I sat in on the call with Trinity when they were explaining their remodeling, and there's a club there, and I thought it might be nice to link into Trinity as well, since they sometimes are left out of loop, and, you know, maybe having one of the chairs of that club also be but I don't know if we want to get above four students.
Yeah, I mean, I think like with all things, it just needs a process, right? That where people know what the terms are, people know that there's an opportunity to apply. And, you know, if there is more interest, then you have to have a way to decide, like, is there a term limit or, you know, or is the term for a person's high school career till they graduate? But it's probably, I don't know, it's probably necessary to have a process where. Sorry, Ellie. Go ahead, Ellie.
You cut out. Sorry, I thought you were talking. If it would be helpful, I could send an email to the environmental club leader.
So why don't we first figure out, obviously it's been a year since we've done it, so we need to do that. I love the idea of making sure we have some school diversity, like Susan mentioned with Trinity. But maybe we need to first see if, I mean, there's some of the student commissioners haven't been in a meeting in quite some time. So, I agree with whoever said maybe we start with contacting the the existing ones to see if they're still interested, and then fill in those gaps with, you know, reaching out to, you know, places like Trinity, Ellie, you might know some people, have them apply and just like you kind of did. And then we can, you know, we can go from there.
I think Lisa would be the best resource on how it was handled last year, because I think she did it.
Yeah, good call. I'll ask her what the deal was with that.
There is a reapplication process. And anybody that knows about it, it would be great if you could send it to me, because I don't know anything
about it. We do have a job description for it, though. So Lisa put that together. You probably want to see that too.
Yeah. Before I commit.
All right. Sounds like we need to dust that off. We'll do that. And Susan, I'll talk to Lisa about that. Any other business? Record time here. So next meeting scheduled for September 14th. Do we want to try for it in person? Jeff, what are other commissions doing currently?
So I know the board has been meeting in person for quite some time, actually, but I know the governor also extended the emergency declaration or whatever it has been for the last year and a half. So I think as of right now, commissions still have the ability to meet remotely and not be obviously in any violation of the Open Meetings Act. Traffic and safety is really the only one I could speak to. They have not met in person for several months now. So, everybody's just kind of keeping an eye on it as far as I can tell. And there's a level of comfort or lack thereof, I should say. Last email exchange I had with the Traffic Safety Commission, they seem to be leaning more towards remote for their September meeting as well. So they've kind of been playing it by ear, meeting by meeting. But some commissions, I don't know if it was the DRB or the ZBA, I think they've been meeting in person this whole time too. So it really kind of does run the gamut.
Things are getting better now. Things are getting worse, not better right now. Maybe we, because it seems like, 4 weeks from now is an eternity in the world of pandemic. So maybe we just, prior to the deadline for agenda items, we can make that call. If anybody has opinions on that, just email me or text me. It would be great to understand where you guys are all at. As much as it'd be great to meet in person, like, we don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. We asked John this and he wasn't sure. Is there a way to do this hybrid? Like, can people be, do you have like a video conferencing setup?
Yeah, so when the board does meet in the boardroom at Village Hall, there's still a Zoom link that gets sent out on the agenda, and there are still folks that participate remotely. So it is a little more technologically complicated, but certainly something that we do once a month, at least right now, for the board meetings, and it's not a big issue. It's certainly doable.
It'd be Sarah's problem next month anyways.
Right, which is why I'm so willing to...
You're like, do it. Endeavor. Okay, that's good to know, though, because that was unclear last time, at least to me it was unclear. So, that's a third option, is that if people want to be in person, they can, and if not, they can be remote. Remote is also easier for people who might be not in town but still want to join the meeting as well, so... So September 14th is the next meeting. We'll make the call on in person as we get closer to that, or a hybrid approach. I miss like seeing everybody ride their bike to Village Hall and get into the meeting. So
yeah,
hopefully at some point here we can return to some normalcy with that. We needed a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Chairman Simon.
Yes.
Chairman Charette.
Yes.
Chairman Chang.
Yes.
Chairman Clancy.
Yes.
And Chairman Veazey.
Yes.
All right, that's it, folks.